Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, sponsored by LuggageForward.com. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome to Talking Golf Getaways. We're glad you found us. As always, I'm Mitch Lawrence in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina on a glorious day. Darren out there in California, I'm sure it's glorious out there. Darren, we're excited because we've been talking a lot lately about Australia, New Zealand, Tasmania, different places. You got to go on an epic trip. And our guest today, Michael Beard from Myrtle Beach, is going to tell us about he and his wife, Carol, and their recent trip. And I just have to say one word from my end, jealous.
Well, yeah, he actually one-upped me on our trip, looking at his itinerary, because they added New Zealand to their trip as well. So he did Australia, Tasmania, and New Zealand. And boy, it looks like a great trip. Can't wait to talk about it.
Okay, we will do that shortly. We're glad you found us. GolfNewsNet.com, iTunes Podcast, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Darren, of course, you can find on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on both at Mitch Lawrence, LauranceE. And Darren, before we get to Michael and Carol, we want to mention our great sponsor. And when it comes to travel, when it comes to golf, and the pain of taking your golf clubs with you, we are thrilled beyond belief that we found Luggage Forward, our sponsor for these Australia discussions that we have. And you and I went to Bandon recently. I had a chance for the first time to experience Luggage Forward on my trip, and I will never again go on a golf trip without having Luggage Forward get my clubs to where I'm going so easily, so hassle-free. To me, it was just a revelation.
Oh, it's such a great way to travel. I've mentioned before, I've had my clubs shipped everywhere from Minnesota, Phoenix, you name it. You guys took advantage of it at Bandon Dunes. And really in a place like that where it's a little bit out of the way to get to, it makes so much sense. Not only do you not have to mess with your golf clubs while you're flying, but you don't have to mess with them with the rental car. It creates more space for you. You can take a smaller car. And really, there's just that sense of pure stress relief as you're dealing with all the other stuff you have to deal with at the airport. So it is the way to go, and I don't know why more people don't. We recommend it to everyone.
I totally agree, and reasonably priced. It's not even close. There's no reason. I literally can't think of one reason why you wouldn't do this. Go to luggageforward.com. You'll find out about it, and you'll feel the same way. Your back will feel the same way. Your stress level will feel the same way. We guarantee it. Thanks. All right, let's get to Michael and Carol Beard. Michael, I happen to know because he is the executive director at Myrtle Beach Manor, a fantastic assisted and skilled living facility here in Myrtle Beach, California. I'm going back to my old days by saying I live in California, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And one day he said to me, I'm coming up on a great trip to Australia, New Zealand, Tasmania. I've got this fantastic trip lined up. And I said, once you get back, we're going to talk. And here he is. His wife, Carol, went with him. We'll talk to her as well in just a little bit. She is a certified registered nurse and an anesthetist. You got me there, anesthetist. She's in charge of the OR at Waccamaw Hospital, a great facility. And somehow, with six kids and 12 grandchildren, they get to play a ton of golf. They have lived a golfer's dream. They live at the great Members Club at Grand Dunes here in Myrtle Beach. They lived at Barefoot Resort before. Their kids say golf is their addiction. Michael says, we travel the world to play golf. I think both are completely acceptable. And we're thrilled to have both of you on. We're going to start with Michael. Michael, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Well, thank you very much.
Darren and I are both interested. As I said, Darren just got back from a similar trip to you. But your itinerary, when you sent it to both of us, was just astounding. It was just chock full. And the mind-boggling part to me is that somehow you made it okay in your life to take a month. And when you told me that it was that long, I went, holy cow, I know Darren wishes he had that long. Give us an overview of the trip and kind of tell us how it came to be. I know you've been planning it for a long time.
Yeah, we our head pro, Brian Vest, here at the Members Club, referred us to someone who got us hooked up with someone else, and we ended up working with Eighth Wonder Travel about a year on the trip. And I'll tell you what, they really hit a home run for us as far as getting all the criteria we established with them. I think we drove them crazy sometimes, saying, no, no, change the dates and let's move this and let's move that. But in the end, we spent 28 days on our number one thing on our bucket list and just had a fantastic time.
Did you had a number of people involved. When yes. You say you changed things around with Eighth Wonder, and Darren got thrown into his trip, he'll tell you very quickly. So there wasn't a lot of planning, but you had a year to plan this. What were the discussions like with the people you went revolving around? There are a couple of iconic courses. We'll get to those. But just the logistics of saying we want to go here, we want to go there, it seems like an amazing amount of research.
We actually worked mostly with Samuel St. George from Eighth Wonder, and he was a professional caddy, which was and a good friend of Stevie Williams. So in talking to him, we said, look, we've done some research. We want to play all the world-ranked courses that we can fit in Sydney, Tasmania, Melbourne, and New Zealand. And he said, are you serious? And we said, yes, absolutely, we are. And in addition, we want to do this, 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 and this. And we had four Skype calls that first we honed out the golf courses we wanted. Then we worked on the hotels and the dates. Then we shifted those so we could attend the wine and food festival in Tasmania.
Of course.
Which was fantastic. So it really was... I think we had almost as much fun planning it as going on it.
Well, I definitely can understand that because we do that with a lot of our trips. We've talked a lot on a lot of our shows about that lead up to a trip and how you banter back and forth and you plan and you think and you dream. And, it's a great way to do it. We haven't worked with tour operators as much. You mentioned Eighth Wonder. They're based out of New Zealand, which made it perfect for this trip. Were there any specific challenges to working with a tour operator from that far away? And do you feel like, and it sounds like you do, that you truly got your money's worth from working with somebody like that rather than trying to build it on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that we had a connection to our head pro with friends of this travel company, that made us feel a lot more comfortable, obviously. But just the meticulousness that they used in setting things up for us and send us an email and say, hey, we've got an opportunity for you to do this. Do you want to do this? And we had an opportunity to play. I don't know if either of you know Tara Iti in Kirikiri, New Zealand, which is an extremely exclusive club. And the reason we got on there is David Maxwell, one of the partners in Eighth Wonder, was the best man for the director of golf.
I noticed Tara Iti on there and wondered exactly that question, how you got on. And I think that's a good thing for us to note for listeners, too, that if you do want to play some of the more exclusive places, going through a tour provider is the way to do it because they have connections that you might not be able to put together on your own.
Yes, and we actually got to meet Samuel on our second night in Sydney. And then we met David at Tara Iti. Unfortunately, the head golf pro, wife went into labor, and we didn't get an opportunity to meet him, but he's very happy to have welcomed a little baby boy in while we were there. So it was just a trip of a lifetime, meeting all the people from all the different countries and just having an opportunity to chat with them, in addition to the crazy golf schedule we put together, was fantastic.
How many people were on the trip?
Just my wife and I, just Carol and I.
Just the two of you. So you just decided to do it as you do together, and then you connected with all these people once you got there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Carol and I don't hesitate. We've done Ireland, the northern half of Ireland by ourselves. We've gone to Spain with another couple to play golf. We've been to Scotland with friends to play golf. But we are such big golf nuts that sometimes our friends don't want to play as many rounds as we do. So sometimes it's better for just the two of us to go.
Let's dive into the golf, and we're going to talk at length probably about New Zealand here in a minute, because it's where neither Mitch nor I have been to New Zealand, but I wanted to talk about one place you had on your itinerary on the Australia trip that I didn't get to go to. And when I played Royal Melbourne with the member I was with, he said, I really wish you guys had had an extra day to go play Metropolitan, because it has some of the best fairways anywhere in the world. Tell me a little bit about Metropolitan Golf Links.
We had an opportunity to play with a couple that were both attorneys. Ended up being their guest, which Samuel arranged for us. And it was, to say the least, pristine. If you played Royal Melbourne and you know how they cut those sand traps out, Metropolitan does the same thing, so does Kingston Heath. But their fairways, they reminded me of tee boxes in the States. they were just absolutely, absolutely gorgeous. And it was just a wonderful, what they call, we call Parkland track.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. It's like Darren said, you hear about all these places, and then when you actually get a chance to go, tell us about some of the other highlights of the trip for you.
I think we both fell in love with New Zealand. It was just absolutely scenically spectacular. Had an interesting conversation with one of the golf pros at Terra Iti, and he'd been there for 3 years. He was an American, and we asked him about it. He said, it's like living in the United States in 1950. They just are just catching up to us in a lot of respects. And to say the views at some of the courses were spectacular are an understatement. Kerry Cliffs, Cape Kidnappers, Terra Iti, New South Wales, in Tasmania, both courses in Tasmania reminded us of Ireland. They reminded us so much of playing Royal County Down. It was just spectacular. We were very, very lucky. We had high 60s to low 80s. One day we got rained out at Royal at the Australian, our very first day, and then after that we had just great weather on the next 14 golf days.
Well, that's very fortunate, because you know, anytime you can go on a trip anywhere in the world and you get a great stretch of weather like that, it just makes the trip even better.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we would get up and go, oh my God, what, you know, it's another perfect day. Now, granted, when we played in Tasmania at Lost Farms and Barnmoogle Dunes, we had 40-kilometer winds. And we had 40-kilometer winds at New South Wales. So that was an experience.
That was just to get your attention. That's all.
Yeah. And, of course, they were the first three rounds of golf we played. So we were like, is it going to be this way for the next 11 rounds? Because we hit shots that I said I hit a 4-iron 214 yards, and three holes later I hit it 138 yards, and both of my hit flush.
Well, we were talking on a previous podcast about that closing stretch at Barnmoogle, which plays into the wind almost all the time. And I played that stretch in similar wind conditions, and it's brutal on those final holes, but fun and such a great challenge and just a lot of fun and a very fair golf course, even in the wind.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, you've got the wallabies all over the fairway, which was really pretty cool. And we had two great caddies. What shocked us is they rolled the golf carts that they're pulling right up on the green.
Right.
And Carol and I were like, what is he doing? But because the grass is literally the same grass, just cut at a different length, they just roll them right up.
Yep, definitely. Did you have a favorite? I mean, like, could you rank your favorite 1, 2, and 3 of all the golf courses you played on the trip?
Boy, I would have to say Kerry Cliffs and Cape Kidnappers were 1 and 1A. They were just so spectacular. And one that you don't probably hear a lot about, but one that was just equally as beautiful, is Jack's Point in Queenstown. That was very good. And in Australia, I would have to say New South Wales and Tasmania, flip a coin with those two courses. They're both beautiful.
Yeah, we have a friend. We have a friend who just got married in Queenstown, Shane Bacon, who does the Clubhouse Pod and works for Fox Sports. And he was putting up pictures of Jack's Point when he played it. And I just, it has to be, I think, on anybody's list if they're going to New Zealand, along with the other, you know, really high profile courses that you mentioned.
Yes, and the neat part of it is there is a skydiving place right next to the course. So the whole time you're playing, there are planes taking six skydivers at a time up and dropping them. So you're seeing these beautiful parachutes coming down and while you're playing golf. And it's just spectacular.
Isn't that cool? Let's move to just asking you about where you stayed. I know when you created your itinerary and you had these points and things you wanted to get to and make sure they were included, one of them was, as you said it, you placed a premium on bed and breakfasts and unique lodging. That was part of what you and Kara wanted to experience. You guys live at the Members Club now at Grand Dunes. You spent 7 years at Barefoot Resort, two of the great destinations here in Myrtle Beach. So staying someplace to you is important. I get it. Yeah. What would you say are the couple that really stood out to you? I'm sure all of them were great, but were there a few that really caught your imagination and your hearts?
I loved the Duke of Marlborough Hotel in the Bay of Islands. It was built by an old convict bootlegger. We opened our door. We happened to have the bungalow. We opened our door. There was an outdoor table with an umbrella, and we were looking at million-dollar lots or million-dollar yachts in the bay right there. It's just spectacular. I also enjoyed the Masonic Hotel in Napier. It was all Art Deco. Most of the people in the downtown area that own shops dress in the 30s and 40s. The tours are all in period piece cars with period piece dress. Those were probably the two that stood out to me.
Well, those sound great. And again, the list could go on. We might hear about a few of them when we do your Emergency 9, which will be an upcoming podcast that we do with you. I want to, if I may, switch over to your wife.
Yes, let me give you Carol.
We appreciate your input here, and I know from playing golf and traveling with my wife, a lot of times it's interchangeable because you know each other so well that talking to one is almost like talking to the other, but I think we want to just hear from Carol about her experience there too. So thanks for the quick input, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm well. I'm
good.
I'm well.
Good. Thank you so much for talking to us. As I said to Michael, when he told me that you guys were going over, I said, when you get back, I want to talk to you. And I definitely want to hear a little bit of your perspective. I know Darren's interested in this too. You guys met in 2004 at a golf simulator.
Correct.
That was, I believe, in March or in the spring. And then in September, by September, you were married. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so clearly you had some touchstones that were fairly deep quickly, and I'm assuming
Correct.
That golf was one of them. I'm taking a wild leap here.
That's a very good leap.
All right, so you've been able to do this, and what a wonderful thing for the two of you to travel together and be both into it kind of at the same level. He told me that you're the superstar in the family. You're the two-time net champion at the Members Club. You've won a lot of things. So the golf is important. What was your perspective on this particular trip? Were there, I know sometimes when my wife and I travel, she's a little disappointed in that women golfers don't seem to be as on the top of mind, shall we say, in certain spots. Was this particular trip great in that respect? What was your initial perspective on this trip?
You know, golf is, you make it what it is for you. And I have no trouble going in and playing whatever tee, whatever course, whatever, because you're playing the course, you're not really playing anything or anyone else. And that's kind of my philosophy on the golf. And so the travel is It's an adventure and an investment with, you know, my best friend. So we share that time together. And you make the course what it is.
I was going to say, there's no doubt about that. What were then, from your perspective, what were some of the highlights of the trip? You know, were there courses or places to stay that really just rang true for you and just fit your travel sensibilities perfectly?
From anything from before golf to after golf, because we walked about 10 miles a day easily. And so we walk the courses, so that's about 6 miles. But then, you know, you have the food and wine festival. You've got the Sydney Bridge Walk that was unbelievable. You've got the Bondi Beach. I love the wallabies on the course. I just thought that was so cool. And I probably did interrupt a few shots because, wait, I got to get a picture of the wallaby first. The Aussie meat pies. I mean, I had done some research before that, and I was so intrigued at, everybody said, you have to have one. And they are really kind of doing away with them. And I thought, oh my gosh, so it took me a while to find them. And once I found them, it was like, okay, can I figure out how to make these at home? And I want to, you know, have more while I'm here. So that was fun. And then the helicopter ride, of course, to the glacier and the fresh lake and all of that. Some of the beaches at Napier were river rock rather than sand, which I found, you know, very fascinating. The golf courses are windy, to say the least. So, and I played quite a bit of yardage on them, much more than I had. So I guess by me, I would think I had it 90-something, 92 or something like that up there. So if I was paying, what, 6,400 yards, I didn't feel too bad about having a 92 or a 96 with the wind and that, because you don't play, you don't know the course. So they tell you to where to aim, but my ball doesn't always follow where someone else tells it to aim to.
Well, that's no surprise to Darren and I.
No, that's true.
About our game, not about your game, about our game.
It's funny you mentioned the meat pies. I when I was on my trip earlier this year, I had for like 3 days straight, the guy said, oh, we have to stop somewhere, one of these roadside stops, and get a meat pie. And it was the big deal, you know, for us, searching out the best meat pies. And the local I was with was like, we stopped at like a gas station / grocery store that had his favorite meat pie counter anywhere, which was just outside Hobart. And they love the meat pies. And now you're ready to start making them now.
I am. The recipe. Are you kidding?
Should we have a meat pie truck here in Myrtle Beach?
Oh,
that we could go around?
Yes.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, when I retire from anesthesia, that's what I'll do.
See, there you go,
right,
Mitch.
Well, Carol wants me in touch.
Carol wants to make meat pies. And it's like me when I was in Scotland and got the sticky toffee pudding recipe, and I'm ready to make sticky toffee pudding. So we could have a meat pie truck and a sticky toffee pudding truck.
Wow, that sounds good. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Who was the demon barber of Fleet Street?
What?
Do you remember the demon barber of Fleet Street? His name is it's a musical.
Oh yeah, it was Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. So, Carol,
oh, yeah.
We just have to stay away from the Sweeney Todd meat pie business, and then we'll be fine.
Perfect.
Carol, let me ask you something. On a previous trip that we, podcast that we did, I was kind of recounting the many dangers of going to Australia. When I was doing my research, there was a lot of things I read about the multiple things that can injure you or kill you in Australia. Did you have any of those worries in the planning stages of that part of the world? Snakes, if you went to the beach, sharks and riptides and all the stuff that they say you got to watch out for. How did you guys feel about that kind of thing?
Well, we live at the beach anyway, so we know about riptides. I've been caught in riptides. I was caught in a riptide in Hawaii. So, you know, you get smart as you get older, and you know what to do and what not to do and where to push the envelope and where not to. We have poisonous snakes in South Carolina. So, you know, I mean, you look where you're walking, you pay attention, and if there's a really a big overgrown area, you really just let the $2 ball go away and move on. So you think about it. You know, I do scuba dive also, and it's been a while, and I knew that Mike doesn't really like that kind of stuff, so it wasn't a big deal for me to just say forget that part. But yeah, the jellyfish, you know, because they're the most poisonous strain or type that they have there. So
right.
you just have to kind of, like, you know, be smart about it and travel to other places with your eyes open.
And did you see any snakes? Because I went my whole trip and never saw a snake.
Never saw a snake, no.
All right, so that's two people.
Yeah.
We are the only two people in the world who have gone to Australia to play golf and not seen snakes. Apparently, from what everybody tells me, it's unbelievable.
Well, we should play the lottery.
That's right.
Talking, as we get to the end of this brief, we could talk about this for a long time, but let's talk for just a second about the airlines. Darren, when he went, he talked about a variety of airlines. Did you have a good experience, bad experience? We know it's a long trip. We know you got to commit to the long trip, but was the experience of flying over there good?
It was. The food wasn't bad. We went Qantas and American coming back. And, you know, we went upstairs so that it had a little bit more legroom, not the laying down things, but a little bit more legroom. So it really wasn't bad. You do have to just kind of know you're going to be there. I know at one time I fell asleep and then I woke up and I said, oh, okay, let's. Good. We're like almost there. And I looked at the thing and said, like, still had 8 hours to go. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's not so hot. But you just kind of move on and, you know, watch TV or do something, find something to do something with your time.
And you flew one of the smaller flights because you flew from Launceston off Tasmania to get to Melbourne, correct?
Correct.
And was it a tiny plane or was it a decent sized plane? Because I flew to King Island from Launceston and it was just like me and five of my closest friends.
It was a little bit bigger than that, but they did, you know, how much do you weigh? How much does your luggage weigh? You sit over there, and you sit here. So right. They do kind of space it, you know, appropriately for a flight. There were five flights that we took inter-country. So they weren't bad. I don't mind flying anyway. We went in the helicopter. That's really small. So you just, you know what you're going into when you start the thing. So it wasn't bad.
And what was, where did you do the helicopter ride?
Queenstown.
Queenstown. Okay, perfect. Well, tell us as we wrap it up, I mean, was it a trip that you would recommend to your friends? And is there anything that you would do differently that you, from what you did, although you did a whole lot in a month's worth of time?
I don't think I would take as much clothes because we did go to use a laundromat. So we could have backed off on that. I would do it again. I would do it again and try to see more things and do more. I'm not sure what more I would do, but, you know, you don't really know all the things that you've not missed. And so you go back and just start walking down another street and try to figure out what you haven't missed.
I want you just, you don't have to give him the phone, but just, is Mike still there, I assume?
He's right here.
Okay, would you just, don't give him the phone, because I love this, that we're doing this. We usually don't have two people at the same time. Ask him what he would do differently, and he can probably say it pretty loud, and I'll be able to hear him.
Probably would have stayed in New Zealand more, and tried and played Kerry Cliffs again, and tried some of the other new courses in that area of Auckland.
Now, see, that's where he's wrong. He's wrong on that part. We just need to go for 2 months and spend more time in Australia, too, because I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Australia. And I realize that you'd really have to travel because it's, you know, along the coast and you really have to do more driving. But, yeah, I would do that, too. But, you know, he's allowed to be wrong.
And you guys didn't include King Island, so you still have to get out and play Cape Wickham and Ocean Dunes on King Island as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. That sounds like a lot. That last response and that whole exchange sounds a lot like what I go through with my wife. So I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one who goes through this. This has been fascinating. I know Mike a little bit, Carol. I am looking forward to spending some time with you. Maybe the four of us can go out and play some golf here in Myrtle Beach, and then I'll kind of explain to Darren everything that happened while we were playing.
Perfect.
This has been great. Thanks for sharing your travels with us. This is what we do on Talking Golf Getaways, is try to get people interested and give them an idea of what other people are doing. So thanks to Michael and Carol. We're going to get to an emergency nine. It'll probably only be Michael because it's a little bit of a quick questionnaire. Maybe we'll get Carol again some other time. Thanks for being with us here on Talking Golf Getaways, both of you.
Thank you much.
All right, and thanks to the listeners, Darren. Obviously, we couldn't do it without them.
Oh, yes. Hit us up on Twitter. I am at Getaways Golf. Mitch is at Mitch Lawrence. Use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9. Of course, our favorite hashtag 2HaggisBags. That'll get our attention. And don't hesitate to share us on your social media. Make sure you rate us on iTunes and help us spread the word about the best in golf travel.
Because clearly Darren's having trouble doing that right now. Thanks, man. It's been fun as always. We'll talk to you soon. And here's our favorite guy. We talk about running down a dream. We talk about Michael and Carol Beard's experience on a trip of a lifetime. Well, they've had it. They dreamed. You can too. Keep running it down. Take it away, Tom Petty.